Hello and welcome to the Melissa Diaz Report. My name is Melissa Diaz, coming to you live from Austin, Texas, home of the steers and queers. Hey, and we love it. In fact, that's why people move to Austin, is specifically to get away from the steers and be amongst the queers. Yeah. The coffee's better. Anyway, what's up, everybody? Yeah, you want to go to a nice gay city if you want some good coffee. Best coffee on earth. If your barista has to kind of have that look, you know what I mean? Like, if it's a girl, she has to have one side of her head shaved, maybe like an interesting hair color, blue preferably, that's the best one. If you want a good barista, septum piercing essential, and not just any septum piercing, it has to be one of those like frilly septum piercings that appropriated from Indian culture ones, the ones that they put on the side nostril, but you put it in your septum because you're like ultra ethnic as a white person or something, or whatever the fuck. I don't even know what that is exactly. I think it's its own culture, really. It's just like, it's mishmash culture. It's mishmash paddywhack, give a dog bone culture, where you just ornament yourself as much as possible in just all kinds of confusing and conflicting philosophies and spiritual expressions, and then you kind of throw in a little spicy anarchy, a little spice, maybe like a little anarchist symbol tattoo somewhere, like a tramp stamp, you know what I mean? No gods, no master, but anal, yes please. Something like that. That's the only way that you know you're going to get good coffee in a coffee shop. The guy, if it's a guy, he has to be super chill. He has to be so chill, you think he's kind of dead, actually, for a second. You kind of want to poke him. He doesn't move. He doesn't open his eyes when you walk in at first. You're like, is this guy alive? Or is this like Weekend at Bernie's, the barista edition? That's what you want. You want a guy that's so chill, you start wondering to yourself if maybe he needs a testosterone treatment. That is what you would like. And Austin has all of that and more, and that's why the coffee is great. But anyway, how are you doing? What's going on in the news today? I don't know. Lots of stuff, all right? We got the government shutdown. We're going to cover a little bit of that. Just a quick update, right? I don't want to get in the weeds about that because there's so much going on, still happening. Everyone's like slow burn freaking out, like with everything lately, where they just, if you really read the news, they just lob so much shit at you that you either just shut down completely emotionally and you just sociopathically read it as if nothing were wrong, or there's just like this slow burn anxiety that's just like tearing away at your soul as you ponder your healthcare and whether or not it's even worth having, but you're going to miss it when it's gone because what's left. And, you know, listen, government shutdown with regards to healthcare, let me tell you something. Here's what you do. You go to the hospital. You just go to a hospital. Don't bring any ID. Tell them it's an emergency. Get checked out and then leave and don't pay the bill. Never pay the bill. And that's because that, my friend, that is our universal healthcare. Do you understand? It goes to collections. That's American universal healthcare. And people look the other way. Why? Because debtors prisons, is that what you call them? Debtors prisons, like when you have a debt, those are frowned upon here and they have been for a long time because everybody here is encouraged to be a grifter. So why would you put a jail thing? Why would you set up a policy of jailing scammers and people who don't pay their bills? That's how this country runs, is people lying, cheating, and stealing their way to greatness. That's what this country stands for. That's what it's all about. A baby America, proud to be an American, because we've got the freedom. Except for my health care, man, it cost me $1,000 premium. Anyway, Yeah. So government shutdown, we'll cover that quickly. We're also going to cover a new study that shows more Americans feeling disconnected than ever before, whatever the fuck that means, followed by a quick trip through a story about U.S. comedians who were booked in a Saudi Arabian comedy festival defending the decision to perform there. And then finally, we're going to end with Jane Goodall. Oh, my goodness. The conservationist renowned for her groundbreaking chimpanzee field research and globe-spanning environmental advocacy has died. She was 91. RIP Jane Goodall. One of the few people who really dedicated her life to something bigger than herself. She's kind of like, Jimmy Carter, kind of like Habitat for Humanity, that kind of stuff. It's a person who just quietly goes about their business and does amazing shit. And that's not happening anymore, because that's not how our economy works now. Because if you want to make money, you want to work in the media, and the media is all about showing and not doing shit. So, RIP, not just to Jane Goodall, but to an entire paradigm centered around giving back that is no more. It is gone. It's finito. It is forever gone, my friend. I'm sorry. So anyway, first, let's cover the government shutdown, okay? According to the Morning Dispatch, okay, I'm diversifying my news outlet sources. The Senate voted against two short-term federal funding bills on Wednesday, extending the current government shutdown at least till Friday. Meanwhile, White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt told reporters that because of the government shutdown, President Donald Trump ordered his cabinet and the White House Office of Management and Budget, OMB for short, to identify prospective across-the-board personnel cuts. Ooh, people are going to get fired. We believe that layoffs are imminent, she said, salivating and slightly squeezing one of her nipples in ecstasy. Axios reported on Wednesday that, per OMB Director Russell Vought, the layoffs will begin in a day or two. Let's figure it out. Yeah, I mean, this is that's latest update that I am aware of about where the government shutdown's at. Like I said, look, listen, baby, booby. First of all I care about is, what are we going to do? There's furloughed employees, which means they're not getting paid. So you got a lot of air traffic controllers not getting paid, but they do get back pay once the government shutdown's over. Then we also have, people with healthcare up in the air kind of issues. There's Social Security offices that are closed. Mm-hmm. Listen, the rich people have abandoned us. So we got to get our asses in gear and just, I don't know, man. We gotta kind of get with a little thing called community. Have you ever heard about the community? There's like guys in the Bronx when I was growing up. I would hear that a lot. Hell, the community, yo. Bro, the community. You know what I'm saying, bro? It's all about the community. And it's like, well, what are you doing, Pablo, for the community? They're like, yo, I'm selling weed, son. And you're like, nice. Okay, Pablo, I'll have a nickel bag. Thank you very much. He's such a community giver. He's a leader. He's a leader in his community, this guy. He sells only pure sativa, organic, local, locally sourced. Love Pablo. Real leader of the community. I don't know how we're going to do it. I mean, I don't know, but there's too much social media. It's hard to be a part of a community because your phone's always in your face. You can't see your community for the phones. You know what I'm saying? Can't see the forest for the trees. Kind of like that. And so we got to do something, I guess. But what I'm saying is, like I said earlier, okay? Don't pay your hospital bills, all right? If they're not going to help you, don't help them, okay? It's credit score? Who gives a fuck? What do you need a credit score anymore for? What do you need it for? Usually to buy a house, correct? Well, no one can afford a house anyway. So who cares? Who fucking cares? I say, right now, during this government shutdown, I mean, really, really, really take a good look around you, reassess, and realize that this ship is sinking. Steal everything while you can, because people are doing it, whether you are or not. People are going around and running scams, and it's getting more and more desperate. Okay, there's like celebrity chefs going around stealing bank robberies, and just all kinds of like people, like old people getting their money stolen by randos, just people from all over trying to steal from each other. So, you know, be the change you want to see and steal from rich people, like steal from them, right? Don't pay your hospital bills, okay? Just go and do that. Steal food at the supermarket. Take it all. Run up credit card debt, but do it smartly, okay? Don't do it stupidly. Don't buy bullshit. You don't need rims. You need chickens. Run up credit card debt and set yourself up for homesteading, okay? Get some vertical agriculture infrastructure. Get some chickens. Get whatever you can get in the area that you're at. I mean, really, you can do a lot more than you think. I remember in the Bronx also, there were just Puerto Ricans would just raise fighting cocks in the front yard of the projects, and it worked, okay? And so then they had chickens and they had chicken eggs. And all you got to do is lie and hide it and then cover each other. We got to bring back the no snitch culture, because our phones have made us move away from no snitch culture. It encourages snitching too much so that you can gain some kind of clout from telling on people, tattling, and then people give them attention. So we need to take back snitch culture. We need to get back to snitches getting stitches. Metaphorically, though, I don't think anybody should be physically harmed in any way, actually. I'm not a fan of that. But, you know, it should be discouraged, is what I'm saying. You should get reported on Instagram or some shit like that. People should, you know, try to lock your account, mess with you, so that you stop snitching. So that we could raise these chickens and start homesteading, bitch. For the community. Right, Pablo? For the community. Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. The government shutdown is such a golden opportunity to get back to this. I mean, really, look, we never should have moved to these cities to begin with. We should have stayed in the country. The country's large. It's vast. It's sprawling. You can hide. You can hide things. I mean, you can't hide, really, not anymore. Not with all these like satellites and stuff, just basically able to triangulate anything, anywhere, anytime. But you can just tree cover, right? You can kind of make do with that until the drones come, right? I mean, we could figure shit out and have a nice life for a couple years before full drone warfare takes over or whatever's going to happen. I don't even know. Until Amazon starts, maybe it's just going to be Amazon drone delivery / surveillance. I don't fucking know. Could be something. But here's what I think, though. I do think that once they have total surveillance over everyone, and also they can read your thoughts, and they're not going to be, I don't even think it's going to be reading thoughts in the way we think, just like it's not surveillance in the way we think, like the way they spy on you. Like, I have a thing on my laptop. I cover I can manually cover the camera on my laptop with it. But that's just for me. I know that's just for my psychology. Because the way they spy on you is everything else on your laptop. It's every move you make, everything you click on, right? And then they build a little avatar profile of you, right? But it's going to be the same thing with mind reading, right? You're going to get your Google glasses, and they're going to start monitoring your eye twitches, your hand twitches, like every kind of movement you make before you make a decision. And they're going to learn how to mind read that way. But I do think that once they can read our minds and they know everything we're doing at any time, if they want to, all they have to do is check and get a summary or whatever. That's probably going to be the beginning of one of the most peaceful golden eras of global history ever, actually. And it's going to be at the cost of your soul. And that's going to be great, you know. But for now, grow the chickens, dude. Grow the chickens. Have a great time. And people are feeling it too. I think that's why it's related to this Rand Corp study about Americans feeling disconnected. Now, if you don't know who Rand Corp is, Rand Corp, here, I pull it up on Wikipedia. The Rand Corporation, it's a think tank, right? It's an American nonprofit global policy think tank, research institute, and public sector consulting firm. They work with the government, basically. Rand engages in research and development in several fields and industries since the 1950s. So that's an old one. Maybe behind the JFK assassination. Who fucking knows? RAND research has helped inform United States policy decisions on a wide variety of issues, including the Cold War space race, the U.S. involvement in the Vietnam War, the U.S.-Soviet nuclear arms confrontation, the creation of the Great Society social welfare programs, and national health care. So if you want somebody to blame, RAND Corp's one of them, right, for our health care system. But anyway, that's RAND Corp. And, but, you know, they got good studies. I mean, they got a lot of money, so they're probably pretty reliable in terms of, you know, their data. And now they came out with an article in their newsletter. It's called Young and Disconnected in America. Disconnected is in air quotes. Oh, no, it's in quotes. I'm doing air quotes. Quote, quote. And Rand Corp is stating that about 1 in 7 people ages 18 to 24 in the United States are disconnected, meaning they are not engaging in school, training, or work. Oh no, oh no, not productivity. Oh no, oh no, oh no, oh no, oh no. That's according to a new RAND paper that explores what the evidence says and doesn't say about this phenomenon. Disconnection has enormous costs for individuals and for society. This is the study. In the short term, disconnected youth earn about $12,000 less per year than their peers. And over the long term, they are unlikely to be on a path towards economic prosperity. Well, would they be in a path really towards economic prosperity? What about AI? What about all that stuff? Who is disconnected? Here are some of the takeaways. Overall, young men are more likely to be disconnected than young women. But other factors, such as family status, race or ethnicity, and disability status, generally are more important than sex in explaining rates of disconnection. Interesting. Oh, yeah. Community factors are also important. For example, rates are higher in areas where fewer adult men are employed. Young veterans, especially female veterans, have high rates of disconnection. Most disconnected youth have at least a high school degree. This suggests that education alone isn't enough to protect young people from disconnection. So what might help disconnected youth secure a brighter future? There is no one-size-fits-all solution. Authors, of course, there's never a one-size-fits-all solution, and it's always going to take a lot of money and investment in the long term from the government. Give me the money, please. We're Rand Corp, and we would like the money to help figure it out, because this is a multifaceted, multi-ethnic, multiplicities of problems and aspects and facets and sides and walls and corners and nooks and crannies, and we're going to have to explore all of it, and it's going to take about... I don't know, something on the order of maybe like about $5 million in reason. So, Rand Corp. Thank you, Rand Corp, for this study. If you want to read it, I mean, just go to rand.org and it's there. You can look at the rest of it. But yeah, this is a disconnection among American youth. But I mean, look, this is kind of par for the course. I mean, when you live in a society where the people in power have basically totally checked out culturally, where they're kind of neither trying to elevate people's sensibilities with any beauty or grace or rhyme or reason for existence, for why we're here together. But they are also not leaving us the fuck alone. They're also meddling and trying to basically encourage us to live our, you know, the lowest resolution version of our lives, and then make us, you know, brag about it and call ourselves trash and shit. I mean, come on. You can't have it both ways. And then on top of that, you know, our politics have become just a melodramatic you know, just complete theater, basically wrestling. Our politics have become a wrestling match between red versus blue, and it never ends. And the government shutdown is just an example of that, right? First, it was brinksmanship, and that's been going on for a long, long time, for decades at this point. It didn't even start now. People think it's Trump, but it's been like that for a long time. I mean, if you really read or listen to anybody who's been around, like any kind of veteran journalist or something, I was listening to Mark Halpern. He's basically saying that. And it's been going on for so long that, this isn't even the beginning or the end or anything of that. It's just entertainment. That's all. Politics have become entertainment. Before, they were a different kind of entertainment, I guess. It was just kind of entertaining the thought that things were getting done in Washington. But now with media, now it's like literally they got to put on a show. These people are putting on their makeup and getting their suits on, and they're climbing the steps to DC with the idea that, you know, it's going to be drama today, and it's like a reality show. It's the reality show. It's the reality show that, of all reality shows, it's the one that we were always headed towards no matter what. When we started, it was just road rules, and now it's Congress rules. And that's it. And that's what we're going to do. We're just going to watch Congress. I don't know. Eventually, they're going to start slapping each other in the face and doing fun shit and getting high and stuff like that. And then it'll really be fun. But until then, they're just kind of pretending that they're still dignified while also acting like trash. So that's what we're just going to watch. Just a bunch of people being fake and fake fights and all this other shit. And this government shutdown is, in a way, you could probably argue that it's just the Democratic Party's way of, first they allowed an agreement for the big beautiful bill, but now they want to come back and act like they're hardcore. So now this is just an act to act, you know, like they're really there for the base and, you know, all this shit. It's a game. And meanwhile, people feel disconnected. It's like, no wonder. How are you not going to feel disconnected from this fucking circus? This is a circus. Eventually, you're going to disconnect. You're going to feel disconnected from it because it's not real. There's nothing real happening. And then if you are in one of these groups that the Rand Corp study is mentioning, you know, unemployed, disability, women, anything like that. I mean, where are you going to go? You're going to go to the internet. And the internet's going to tell you that there are no jobs, that there is no hope, that there is nothing, that you should kill yourself, actually. Maybe go to Canada. I hear they're doing that. And that the world is twisted and it's gone awry and something's wrong and this isn't right. And you will fall for it and you will become more disconnected and more reclusive, and you'll just fade away eventually because no one's there to pull you back from falling into that pool of bullshit and despair. And I'm just here to tell you, if you're listening and you're one of those people and you're walking around and you're like, what is this all for? And like, what's happening in the world? Let me tell you something. You are just experiencing being disgruntled from one of the biggest, most common scams in American history. And it is the current scam that you're living through right now. It's just people vying for your attention and your time and pulling you back and forth with all kinds of different, you know, partisan, ideological, you know, philosophical confusion, just to get you to buy shit, waste your time, go here, go there, support this, do that, fuck off, don't do that, go over here, right? And it's a scam. And it's been happening since the fucking American Revolution, okay? It's a scam that it's just always been these two voices here just fighting. Like I've said this before, it's like, if you ever seen Kenny versus Spenny, it's a Kenny versus Spenny show. This America is, in this way, culturally, is a big scam. It's a circus, and it doesn't actually reflect reality. The reality is that all the horrible shit they show you, yeah, that's part of life, but there's also a lot of other stuff that they won't show you because it doesn't get you upset. So, you know, it's not going to get you to do anything. So they don't show it to you, right? There's a lot of beautiful things happening. There's a lot of fucked up shit happening. It will always be that way. You can't fix it. Nothing can. Not capitalism, not communism, nothing. This is just how it is. And you got to fucking figure that shit out. You gotta fucking fight through it. Don't let these fucking people make you feel like you're hopeless. Like there's no hope. Okay? They're grifters. We don't have debtors' prisons, so there's no incentive to not grift, to not scam, to not waste your time, to not get shit from you. And then the thing is like eventually, especially if you're a person who's especially like, you know, on the lower rungs and kind of the underdog, right? It can make you feel shitty and it can make you just depressed and then you just kind of tune out. And what the fuck is wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with that. Don't let them make you feel bad for being disconnected is what I'm trying to say. Be disconnect, dude. Disconnect. You notice how they're always trying to make you like connect and be around, like be in, like plug in basically. And like if you don't want to plug in, they're like, well, why don't you just plug into a licensed health professional and then they can work it out and then they can make you. They always want you to be plugged in. They want you to connect because that's how they get your data right now. Before it was always for some other reasons, but they always want you to be connected. They always want you to be productive. And the problem is that if you are like that, if you're disconnected, disgruntled, maladjusted, I mean, the thing is that you realize that something's up. Why am I being asked to be connected? Why do I always have to fucking be productive? What am I doing this for? Like, what the fuck is happening? And you're right. You need to go away. Your problem is not that you're disconnected. Your problem is that you're not disconnected enough. You're connected enough to have to hear people tell you that there's something wrong with you for not wanting to be a part of this right away. Because you want to go figure it out. Go figure it out. I'm telling you, dude. Go grow some chickens in the woods and fucking hang out. And I'm not saying you got to do that specifically, but I'm saying do your version of that. Get the fuck out of here. Go think about stuff. You ever like go wake up and have a coffee and just go think about something and leave your phone, go for a walk, and like really do it though. And don't talk about it. Don't talk about it online. Just do it and just disappear. I think that's what's going to happen is that people are going to start disappearing into like not phones. You know what I mean? And because people want something real. And people want like a chance. And I mean, also, it's like, what are you going to connect to when AI is going to take so many jobs? And especially if you know that you're not in a good position to compete, to be competitive, you're going to fall through the cracks. This is not for motherfuckers who are not, you know, strong, virile, ready to go people, right? This is not a good future for losers. We got to get out of here. We got to get out of here. We got to go farm or something. Go figure something out. What am I talking about? I have no idea. I'm still just spitballing. I'm trying to figure it out. But I don't know. I feel like they're always trying to get you back. You know, people disconnect. They're always like, why are you disconnecting? It's like, well, what the fuck is, what is here? For decades, the only option was like get a corporate job or something and just live in a cubicle, die in a cubicle, just make money, just whatever, start a family, right? At least. But now with AI, there isn't even that. The jobs that you didn't even want aren't even going to be here, a lot of them, for the future. And it might be good because, you know, they got to fill in these positions. Nobody's having kids. And AI might be the only way to keep these companies going, you know, on all four cylinders or six cylinders or however many cylinders is the good amount of cylinders. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. I'm just saying, like, don't listen to these people. These studies and this crap data sets. Listen to yourself. They never want you to listen to yourself. that's another thing you ever see online. They're always like, pay attention, like go and pay attention to just your day online. And it's always something like, well, you know, studies show that, you know, if you trust yourself, you're going to die, right? Are you trusting yourself? You're an idiot. Don't trust yourself. Trust a licensed professional. And that's always where it goes towards. Trust a licensed professional. I'm not saying don't do that. I'm just saying it's there has to be some things where you don't have to go to a licensed professional, especially when it comes to just like your inner monologue. Sometimes, you know, I don't know. You can't fucking talk to yourself. They don't want you to talk to yourself because it means you're crazy. But what's wrong with being crazy? I don't know. All right. Anyway, in other news, U.S. comedians defend decision to play in Saudi Arabia. How do you say it? Saudi. Yalla. Let's talk about this. American comedians at Saudi festival draw backlash from human rights groups. Now, first of all, this is a lot of these comedians have said different things. We all know what the deal is. Whatever they're paying them was enough, right? And that was it. And everybody has a price, and their prices were met. And also, I don't think you can convince a comedian to not want to experience something they've never experienced before. I think that's the real pull, is you get to go to Saudi Arabia, you're getting paid a shit ton of money, and they're going to protect you, and you're a man so good. And there were a couple, Jessica Kirsten's doing it, she's a woman, but maybe they think lesbians are men over there, I'm not sure. Maybe there's like some exception, or maybe it's a trap. Maybe they're all going to be held hostage, and that's a trap, and they're all kind of walking into one, and they don't know it. I don't know. But you can't really, to go to Saudi Arabia and have this experience is probably a big part of it. I don't know. And they're all kind of giving their own excuses. But it is a comedy festival. It's just a comedy festival. And I don't know. I guess I could see it. I could see it from both ways, because the Saudi royal family, I mean, they are something else. I mean, they are bone sawing journalists in Turkey on live television. They don't give a shit. They are, you know, putting hits out on people. They are killing heretics and gays, and they don't let the women. Let me tell you, like, this is the level of fucked up Saudi Arabia is, at least from my perspective, is like they gave women the right to drive, I think in what, 2006 or something, or 2016, I forget. And things were so bad in terms of, you know, what was permissible for women to do, that people like cheered. They were like, what, they can drive on their side? And everybody just lost their minds. It was like, this is amazing. This is amazing. And standing ovation. So that just because women could drive to the supermarket and back. Because that's kind of all they're going to be doing. And it's not like they can probably even really drive by themselves. It's like there's probably a guy in the passenger seat or something like that. But hey, that's great. But at the same time, what are you going to do, human rights groups? I mean, you, what are you going to do? What about Afghanistan? What about all those other places? What about that? What's happening? Right? What about Palestine? What is Saudi Arabia? Also, Saudi Arabia is an ally of the United States. And also, irrespective of all that, because for those reasons, I probably would say you shouldn't go. But really what I'm thinking is the reason why maybe you could go or justify it, and it's a valid point, but only if you really feel it, and not if you're like, you're just pulling that out of your ass because you like the money and the opportunity. But, you know, wouldn't it be better for people from a different culture to mix with people there, mingle and talk, shit and just be there and kind of like transmit that energy in person? Isn't that better than not having those people there ever at all? Isn't that a better thing? I don't know. I don't particularly like the Saudi shit with the slavery and the killing and all this stuff, but at the same time, a lot of these people, I mean, at the same time, like, we all know what the deal is. It's the Saudis maybe just do it in the open, but I mean, this country does it in the dark. So it would be, you know, it's also hypocritical to say that kind of shit, unless this country, I don't know, deals with, owns up to the dirty shit that they get up to also and have gotten up to for centuries. So I don't know. I think it's just, you know, Saudi Arabia's a monarchy, and maybe because monarchies are kind of more in your face authoritarian. It's like, yeah, we're a monarchy and we're going to do shit. And that's what we do. What the fuck do you think this is? And I think they just have that understanding of like, you know, we're all about violence, state violence. We control it. That's what we do. That's what you have us here for. And we're going to use it to, you know, protect you because you're within the borders. But you just got to do a couple things that we want. And that's a monarchy. Our country is more like, hey, we good. Hey, it's a lot of extra steps. And I guess personally, I do think it's better. I do. I don't mind that there's fighting here and all that shit. I think it's good. I think there should be more rhetoric, more fighting, more, not less. I think people should just keep in mind what the values are of how good it is that we can argue. That's all. But you know, this country is like, what is it? We're a democracy. And then it's like, really? And it's like, no, well, actually, we're a constitutional republic. And it's like, okay, is there anything democracy about it? I'm like, yeah, you can vote for them. You can vote for your representatives. Well, I'm going to vote for them. Yeah, but, you know, you're not going to see the ones you want. You're going to see the ones that we can get in front of you. And those are people that are usually getting funding from groups that you may not think are too cool. You're like who? It's like, you know, like Elon Musk and like Silicon Valley, like dumb people. And you're like, oh, like a Bezos, me. And smaller companies too. And that's just kind of how it works. And that's what they do. But it's, if they didn't get money from those people, they wouldn't be able to afford living in DC. It's too expensive. They don't pay them enough for them to actually make a difference. They don't pay congressmen enough on their own. They have to get money from somewhere, and your broke ass ain't going to give it to them. So it's just kind of the way shit runs. So the Riyadh Comedy Festival is, It is what it is. They're going to go. They're going to make people laugh. And it's just going to be what it is. And then you're going to forget it. And it's going to be like it never happened. So anyway, that's going to be that. Anyway, and lastly, we got Jane Goodall, who has perished, unfortunately. So yeah. And it's just interesting because Jane Goodall is really a good example of everything that's been going on and like why people are disconnected and like what has happened and why people are down to go to Saudi Arabia and not give a fuck about, you know, what that means for human rights or whatever the fuck. Because our whole conception of ourselves has changed. We used to think there were good guys and bad guys. Like Jane Goodall was a part of that generation of people, right? And she's like a conservationist, and the whole thing was Goodall is best remembered, right? This is according to Associated Press. Goodall is best remembered for living among chimpanzees and documenting the animals' activities previously believed to be exclusive to humans. Okay, that just means that she discovered that humans and chimpanzees have a lot in common, right? Her emotional and social observations transformed how the world perceived not only humans' closest living biological relatives, but also the emotional and social complexity of all animals, right? Okay, so yeah, chimpanzees are more like humans than we both. And humans are fundamentally good. And then we would see chimpanzees throughout like the 80s and 90s and 70s. And like the whole time we were seeing like they would walk out baby chimpanzees on like movies and TV shows and variety shows and late night talk shows and television, daytime talk shows and all kinds of stuff, right? And America's Funniest Home Videos, they would wheel out a baby chimpanzee and people thought that those were chimpanzees. Do you understand what I'm saying? People thought that baby chimpanzees were like chimpanzees. That's what they would just grow up to a little bit bigger and be just as cute and adorable and, you know, scratch their butts and look vacantly at the wall the way like your Uncle Steve does or some shit like that, you know? And it's like, look at how much they are like us. And they are. And those baby chimpanzees are like baby human beings. But the problem is that they never showed grown-up chimpanzees and what they really grow up into. And we didn't find that out until that Ape Crazy documentary came out and things like that, when we started to discover that chimpanzees are extremely violent goblin monsters that lurk in the jungle and eat babies. That is chimpanzees. And they do it because that's just what they do. And the problem with that is that they're still like us. We have just concurrently realized that we are also weird, fucked up apes that do really fucked up weird shit, like pedophilia, and we also eat babies sometimes. And we go to war and we do all the shit that chimpanzees do in our own kind of way. But we do it with our brains, which means that we make governments and organized crime syndicates and cartels and things of that nature and conspiracies. We use social engineering and infrastructure and institutions as a mechanism to do all of the things that chimpanzees do. They have to do it with their hands. Chimpanzees have to work extra hard to do all the shit that we do. And that's basically the takeaway. And that's why people don't give a fuck about going to Saudi Arabia. And that's why people are feeling disconnected. Because this thing is a circus. This is insane. We know what we are now. We have looked into a grown-up goblin chimpanzee's face. And we have seen ourselves. And that's it. That's all I have to say. Anyway, thank you for tuning in to the Melissa Diaz Report. Stay tuned for next Monday when I'm coming back at your face. With more news and commentary. And sorry for the late post today. It's just my baby was coughing and we were a little concerned. So I had to hold off. And I don't regret doing that. But I do apologize for posting a little bit later than usual. But I'll be back early Monday if everything goes well with Sunday and with life. And until then, I hope you have a good weekend. Thank you so much for listening. Goodbye.